Philippians chapter 4, verse 22. Is that right?
Verse 22.
This will be interesting. I had to question if that was the verse or not. Let's see how Kyle makes a sermon out of this. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always thankful for the opportunity we have to worship God in spirit and in truth. So thankful for those of you that are visiting with us. We want you to know that you're welcome, that you are our honored guest, and we are so thankful that you are here. So thankful for all those that help us in services. We're certainly thankful for the prayer and the song leading and all of those things that come together. Thankful for each and every member. Certainly, as we're approaching the start of the quarter, the teaching quarter, please fill out one of these teacher information slips. We'll try to take these slips and try to work off your preferences to try to get you in the time of year that works best for you and your family. Certainly, thank you for all those that have filled out those slips. We'll try to use those slips to make a schedule for next year, and we'll try to fill any gaps that we have after that. But if you fill out this, it really speeds up the process for Brother Carl as he's working through that. So certainly thanks for all those that help teach and support that work that's so very, very important. And also that July 30th, it serves as a good time for moving up. If we have any of our young people that are right there that are thinking about moving up, I mean, you just try to move up with the school year. You know, if you're going into 8th grade or if you're going from 3rd grade to 4th grade, that's a great time for any of our young people who want to move up in terms of grade level. Certainly, that's a good time to do that. This morning, we're going to be looking at saints or followers of God in hard places. I think when we step back and we look at the Bible, it's amazing how many times the servants of the Lord, whether Old or New Testament, find themselves in very hard and challenging situations. And yes, that is the right reading. I'm so lost with the kids many times before I get up here. I'm just waiting for the reading, whatever it is. And yes, that is the right reading. You know, when you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, it's important for us to remember who the writer is and where he is writing from. I believe Paul to be the writer, and I believe he's writing from prison. Isn't that quite a hard spot? And we can certainly describe what we believe that Paul's imprisonment looked like, but in the simplest terms, he was basically in some form of arrest, some form of prison. And you think about that as he writes Philippians. Philippians actually has an extremely positive tone to it, a tone of joy. And I think the only reason Paul can have joy in such a hard situation is his perspective. Is Paul is focused more on spiritual things than he is physical things. If he focused too much on the physical thing, certainly he could easily have gotten discouraged, but he is focused on his spiritual mission and understanding that spiritual things outweigh any physical conditions that we might face. But servants of the Lord find themselves in hard situations. And as I look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, I do think of those individuals as well. It says, he's kind of concluding the letter, he says, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are in Caesar's household. Now, I'm not 100% sure, but most of the Caesars were not very partial to Christianity, and I think that a lot of Christians that would be serving in Caesar's household, I'd say we're in a pretty hard spot. When we look at a lot of the Caesars and how they handle Christianity and how they handle Christians, and I'm talking about true Christians and true Christianity, is a lot of Christians did not get the best shape. They were not always treated fairly, they were not always treated well. A great advantage to a Christian is that we obey the laws of the land, Romans chapter 13. A great advantage to a Christian is that Christians should be good workers. And I think here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 22, even though it's just a small snippet, I can't help but think about these individuals, the Christians that are in Caesar's household. I would suggest to you that that would be a hard spot. I believe these Christians were probably hard workers, and that probably benefited them very well. I think these Christians were obedient, as long as they were not asked to do something that was against their faith. But certainly, I think about that, the Christians in Caesar's household, that would be a hard spot. I think of Paul as he is in prison. Philippians chapter 1 verse 12, it says, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out to the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's saying, I'm in a hard spot, but I want you to know that just because I'm in a hard spot doesn't mean that I'm not being a faithful Christian and that this is not working out to the advantage of the gospel. You understand that hard spot that you get put into in your life, trials, tribulations, adversities that you go through in your life, you understand that these could actually be utilized to further the gospel. That just because we're in a hard spot does not mean that we cannot be faithful, and it doesn't mean that we perhaps don't have some of the best opportunities on our hands to spread the gospel when we go through hard times. There are so many people that we could think about. I think about the Christians in Caesar's household. That's a hard spot. I think of Paul in prison. That's a hard spot. I start thinking about all these people in the Bible, faithful followers of the Lord, that find themselves in hard situations, but they say, we are going to be faithful, and they have enough awareness to say, you know what, this might be able to be used to the advantage of God. Do you fall into hard situations in this life? I think we all do from time to time. I don't know when they're going to come and how long they will stay, but we certainly all go through hard times. And perhaps as we look out into our country, as we see the morality of our country that has decayed so rapidly and so swiftly in many respects, I think it might be reasonable to conclude that Christians might find themselves in more hard situations in the future. Situations that Paul found himself in. What? Christians in prison? Yeah, it happened. It could happen here. I don't pray for it. I don't desire it. I don't want it in terms of that. But you know that Christians have been arrested throughout time. Why? For being a Christian. You understand that Christians have been put in hard situations and they have remained faithful. The question is if we fall into such situations, what should our response be? And I think that God has given us a mind where we can utilize common sense. I don't think every situation demands the exact same response. I think we need to have a faithful response, but a faithful response of a servant of the Lord should be standing up for the truth. I think a Christian response in some situations should be separating. And I think some Christian situations that would demand faithfulness call for us to endure. You're going to face some hard situations in this life. The question is as a Christian, how are you going to handle that? How are you going to face that? How can you use these as opportunities? Perhaps we've let too many hard situations in our lives pass by without taking advantage of them for the furtherance of the gospel. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Certainly, if we find ourselves in a hard situation, we should try to point back to God any way that we can. For the next few moments, I want to remember some situations that God's servants of the past have fallen into, that we're in, that we have an account of, and how they handled these various situations. You're probably very familiar with these situations. The first one I'd like to consider is Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3, you find some servants of the Lord that fall into a hard situation, is it not? A hard situation. In Daniel chapter 3, we have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I'm sure that you are familiar. So we're trying to hit the highlights and trying to see these men's response. A faithful response in a hard situation. In Daniel chapter 3, we have really three individuals, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in a foreign land. They have been basically taken away from Israel, and they have been transplanted or deported into Babylon. And these young men have been raised in Babylon for a period of time. They've been educated in the ways of Babylon through their educational system. And in Daniel chapter 3, we have King Nebuchadnezzar, and he is making this huge statue, as we see in verse 1. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, in Daniel chapter 3, made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and its width 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. I think we remember this account in Daniel chapter 3. We're looking for faithful servants of the Lord in hard situations, and we're looking to see how they respond. As we go throughout Daniel chapter 3, we see that King Nebuchadnezzar is going to have some demands in relation to this statue that he has set up. He is going to have music that will be played, and everyone is to bow down to the statue. And you think about this, this huge statue has been set up, and it says in the plains of Dura, and really I want you to see this picture in your mind of this huge statue, and it appears that there is a great plain. It seems like the placement of the statue is intentional to really have a massive amount of people assembled around this statue and for them to bow down and to worship it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they really find themselves in a hard situation. Where really, to stay faithful, they understand some of the implications, and we actually see the direct implication, is that if these men bow down to this statue, their lives will be spared, and their lives will certainly be a lot easier in many respects. They will compromise their faith. They will compromise the God that they serve, but their life will be a whole lot easier. They'll be accepted. They will continue probably to raise up in the positions which they find themselves. But we find these three young men, I might add, these three young men on the plains of Dura. And they have been commanded to bow down to this statue. And we get to see the face of these individuals in a hard situation. I think it is a hard situation. How do they respond? You understand that you will be persecuted because of your faith at some point. If we desire to live righteously, we will suffer persecution. And you know what? A faithful individual is going to find themselves in some hard situations. And in these hard situations, sometimes the response is to stand up and do that which is right. As you look at verse 14, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my God or worship the gold image which I have set up? See, they have set up the statue. They have said, hey, when we play the music, we need everyone to basically bow down. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will not. And I'm sure they stuck out like a sore thumb on the plains of Dura. I don't know how many people were on the plains of Dura. Do you want to give me a guess? How many people do you think were on the plains of Dura? There's this huge statue that is set up, that is intentionally set up for this false worship, this false delegation, this false symbol of worship. How many people do you think were on the plains? I can't tell you how many people were on the plain. All I can tell you is how many individuals stood up. And as far as I can tell, it was three. They're brought in and questioned about this. Why are you taking a stand? Everybody else is bowing down. Everybody else is bowing down. You know what? Our society is like that many times. Our society puts things out in our society and say, bow down to this. Bow down to this principle. Bow down to this ideal. Show us that you're with everybody else and that you accept the things that our culture and our society accept. Bow down! This still happens today. The question is what will the faithful person's response be? We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they start to question. And in verses 16 through 18, we see a little bit more of the account which we have. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, verse 16, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from the hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your God, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. We see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in a hard situation, and they have decided to stand. You know, we need individuals to stand up today. I know there's different situations, but there are many times in our society where people are trying to push false worship, false ideas, false morality, things that we know are wrong, and sometimes there's a time and a place that we have to stand. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. They were in a hard situation. We see faithfulness in a hard situation, and we see their response. They were willing to stand, and need be, they were ready to die. Do we have such faith? Do we have the conviction of these men that we find on the plain of Dura? Do we have that same conviction that we will take stands when they need to be taken? Or will we just bow with everyone else? You know, I think many times it's painful for us to admit that we have more of these opportunities than we would care to admit. Bow down to this idea. Bow down to this principle. Show your approval of this idea that is being pushed in our society and our culture. Will we stand or will we bow? How will you respond to the test? Because you, as a New Testament Christian, will certainly have some situations in your life where you will have the choice to bow down and compromise or to stand up. These men on the plain of Dura would not compromise. They really have the attitude that we see of Daniel in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. In Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 it says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. We as Christians have to purpose in our heart to not defile ourselves with the world, and sometimes that involves us taking a stand. Taking a stand. So many times our world stands around us and they say, yes, 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 this is the right thing to do, when really the answer is no, 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 that is not the right thing to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, it says, do not be deceived, evil company corrupts good morals. I wonder how many times that's happened in our lives. I wonder how many times that's happened to the church. That the church has not taken the stand that they should because of the outside pressures. That we as individual Christians do not take the stand that we should because of the outside pressures. A faithful response of a Christian many times is to take a stand. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Sometimes a faithful response of a Christian in a hard situation is to stand up. And understand that you do not stand alone. You stand with the Lord, and you also stand with the faithful few. I'm not promising you that when you stand up on the plains of Dura, in your situation in life, that there are going to be many standing beside you, but there will be some. The question is will you stand in such a situation? In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In 1 Peter, we have really an encouragement to some Christians there. It says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by the brotherhood. You know what our brothers and sisters in Christ go through in so many other countries? Some people in this country. It just depends on where you're at. It depends on the day, the situation, the location. It depends. But we have brothers and sisters in Christ that have taken a stand. And we should stand with them. When I look at Daniel chapter 3, I see faithful individuals that take a stand for the Lord. Let's go to another situation we're very familiar with. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, we're probably familiar with the story of Joseph, the account of Joseph, from Genesis chapter 37 through 50. Really, chapter 37 is where the story of Joseph really picks up. You remember Joseph gets that coat of many colors, and his brothers, out of jealousy and envy, they sell him into slavery. Not only do they sell their brother Joseph into slavery, but they go and basically lie to Dad about it. Now, do they actually say that Joseph is dead? No, they don't actually say that Joseph is dead, but they mislead their dad to that conclusion. And that was wrong. We have Joseph sold into slavery. He is sold into slavery. He ends up in a man named Potiphar's house. And in Potiphar's house, Joseph is going to find himself in a hard situation. Potiphar's wife, really, is coming after Joseph. She is pursuing him. And as we start to read Genesis chapter 39, we see how aggressive this pursuit of Joseph is. In chapter 39, as we start to look at some of these verses, we see that Joseph, as he becomes a slave, he works very hard. And in fact, he becomes over everything in Potiphar's house. Christians should be good workers. Christians should be obedient to the government. These are great advantages of the Christian. Because when they come after us, they can only come after one thing, and that's our faith. They can't come after Kyle because he's a lawbreaker. They can't come after Kyle because he's not a hard worker. They can only come after Kyle because of his faith, and it should be as clear as day. And it was clear as day for New Testament Christians, and it was clear as day for these servants in the Old Testament. These people in the Old Testament, we can see Joseph, he ends up being a slave, but he ends up becoming over everything in Potiphar's house. In chapter 39, verse 4, the Bible says, "So Joseph found favor in the sight, in his sight," talking about Potiphar, "and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he put under his authority." Joseph was a good worker. He was over everything in Potiphar's house. In fact, when you look at verse 6, it says this. It says, "Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate." Joseph was such a good servant of Potiphar, Potiphar turned everything over to him. And he didn't worry about anything except for his next meal. That's how good Joseph was as a manager of Potiphar's house and things. But we see, as the account unfolds in verses 10, 11, and 12, that Potiphar's wife now starts to pursue Joseph. In verse 10, it says, "So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, that none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by the garment and said, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside." You know, you think about Joseph. Joseph, a faithful servant of God. Joseph has went through a whole lot of hardship, and we see that he's in a hard situation. Many would suggest that it would have been perhaps easier for Joseph to actually sleep with Potiphar's wife. It perhaps could have been to his advantage in many ways. It could have perhaps made his life a lot easier. Of course, we know what's going to happen. He's going to be accused of rape, basically, even though he did not commit such a thing. He's going to be accused of that, and he's going to be sent to prison. Wait, a faithful person of God is going to suffer for doing that which is good? Yeah. It happens. The question is when a Christian, when a servant of the Lord faces hard situations, how do we respond? You know what? Joseph actually gives us another response here. I think Joseph had a period where he tried to stand against this temptation. I think there's a period where Joseph tried to endure this temptation. And you know what? Eventually, he had to separate himself from the temptation. And you know what, brothers and sisters in Christ? When we're in hard situations, God wants us to use our common sense and use our judgment and have a faithful response. Sometimes we need to stand up. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. Sometimes we need to separate and get away from the situation. And that's what Joseph did. Joseph said, "I need to get away from this. I need to separate. I need to be away." And you know what? Sometimes in our lives, we need to separate. Sometimes we need to walk away. Sometimes we need a little distance from some things if we are going to stay faithful to the Lord. There's some situations we should not be in. And I will say this, that all Christians struggle with different things. There are certain situations that I believe I can handle and some of my brothers and sisters cannot handle, and vice versa. There's some situations that my brothers and sisters can handle better than I could. Sometimes a faithful servant of the Lord says, "I need some separation. I need to flee." And you know what? That's what Joseph did. That's a faithful response sometimes. Sometimes it's a wise response. "I need to get away from this." In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, it says, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Sometimes we need to flee from things. Sometimes we need to separate from some things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, it says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." A faithful response of the Christian in hard situations sometimes is to stand. Sometimes the faithful response of the Christian is to separate. And I want you to think about that this morning. Are there some situations in your life that you need to separate from so that you can be faithful? Maybe it's some activities, maybe it's some things that you need to walk away from. You know, that's exactly what Moses did. Moses had to walk away. In Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about Moses walking away from Egypt. Certainly, it probably would have been easier for Moses to stay in Egypt. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. He had an Egyptian education. He was living in the household of Pharaoh. He had a lot of physical blessings, physical prosperity, many possessions. And you know what? Moses had to make a hard choice. He says, I got to walk away. I have to separate. I cannot be around this and really be faithful to God. As you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and following, it says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Moses had to walk away. Moses had to flee. You understand that that can be a faithful response of a Christian in a hard situation? If I am walking away. That doesn't mean that we don't make a stand on another day. It doesn't mean that we don't endure. But sometimes the appropriate faithful Christian response is to flee, to separate. You know, as we start thinking and considering some of these situations, when's the last time as a Christian you took a stand? I can guarantee you remember it. You don't think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remember their stand on the plain of Dura? When you make a stand, when you take a stand based off your faith, you'll remember it. You won't need to think back to all the heart. You will remember the stands that you took for your faith. And you know what? You also remember the time where you had to separate because of your faith. Where you had to flee because of your faith. It doesn't mean that we don't take a stand another day. It doesn't mean that we don't endure. But there are some situations where separation is appropriate. You know, I think of the New Testament church. God gave us a head so we could think. When the church was persecuted in Acts, the early church was persecuted in the book of Acts, did the church just say, you know what, we're just going to stay here and we're just going to keep getting killed? You know what they did? They separated. They ran. But did they leave their faith? No, they didn't leave their faith. They knew that it was probably in their best interest to run, to separate, to go to another place. And you know what? They took their faith with them, and when they did that, the gospel spread everywhere. Sometimes the appropriate action of a Christian is to separate. The appropriate action is to flee. And we see that with Joseph. You know, Christians are going to suffer for doing good. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. The question is which do we choose as we go throughout this life? Joseph kept respecting and obeying God, and you know what? Everything worked out in his life. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. That probably wasn't the easiest thing for Joseph to see. As Joseph was sold into slavery, as he was accused of sexual crime, as he ended up in prison, he interpreted those gentlemen's dreams, if you remember, and then they forgot about him in prison for a longer period of time. Joseph had a hard road, but he was faithful to God through that process. If we desire to live godly, we will suffer persecution. Sometimes, when we're in a hard situation, we need to make a stand. Sometimes, as a faithful Christian, we need to separate. We need to flee. And you know what? As we go to Daniel chapter 6, sometimes we have to endure. In Daniel chapter 6, I think Daniel is just becoming a more and more relevant book by the day as we find faithful individuals of God in a country that does not respect God. As we see faithful servants of God in a country that does not respect God. In Daniel chapter 6, we see a plot against Daniel. Daniel has been very successful in Babylon. He's been educated in the ways of Babylon, but he has stayed faithful all the way through. And he has served, and he has been faithful, and he has been there with the king. And actually, some of these people see that Daniel is actually rising in the Babylonian society, and they're very jealous and envious, and they want to get after Daniel. But you know what? In Daniel chapter 6, they can't go after Daniel because he breaks the law. They can't go after Daniel because he's a bad worker. The only way they can get at Daniel is by going after his faith. So you know what they do? They make a law that they know Daniel will violate because of his faith. They can't just say, oh, Daniel, you need to get him out of the work in Babylon because he's a bad worker. They couldn't say that. Let's get Daniel out of the kingdom because he's breaking the law. Well, he wasn't breaking the law. So they say the only way we can get Daniel is if we go after his faith. And that's exactly what they did. They went to the king and they made a law that you could not pray. They made a law in the lands of Babylon that you could not pray to anyone but the king, basically. And we see that unfolds in Daniel chapter 6. And you think about Daniel, and we think about his faithfulness, as Daniel knows that this law has been signed, and what does he do? He continues with his custom since early days. Daniel has always prayed. Daniel has always served the Lord, and no law is going to keep him away from serving the Lord. What's the punishment for Daniel for praying? Thrown to the lions, then. Basically a death sentence. Now you think about that. We're talking about a servant of the Lord in a hard situation. If you serve the Lord, you will be killed. If you serve the Lord, you will receive the death penalty. That is what Daniel is. And as we look at these situations, we start to see these are servants of the Lord in hard situations. Sometimes we need to stand. Sometimes we need to really separate. And sometimes we need to endure. Daniel is ready for the consequences of following God. There is no law on the book that would prevent Daniel from serving God. Do we have such a faith? If such a situation ever transpired or happened in this nation, would you be a Daniel? If they said that we were not allowed to assemble together as the Lord's church, what would your response be? If they said we could not sing any longer, if they said we could not pray any longer, if they said we could not partake of communion, if they said that we could not baptize, actually in India that is one of their things. You can't baptize people. Or if you're a missionary and you go there. You know, Daniel was ready to endure. He was ready for the long haul. Daniel said, I will be faithful despite whatever consequences will come. And of course, we know the account of Daniel. We know how that law is made. We know that how Daniel is taken and he is put in the lion's den and God protects him. But I remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, if not, you know, if not, they were ready to go to the end. You know, you're going to find yourself in some hard situations. I think a lot of times when we fall into these hard situations, we try not to recognize them, because if we recognize them, we understand that actually to remain faithful, there are some things we have to do. Sometimes the appropriate response might be to make a stand. When's the last time you made a stand for your faith? Maybe it will demand that you need to separate. That maybe you need a little separation from a certain situation or certain people or certain individuals or a certain thing. When's the last time you separated because of your faith? When is the last time that you endured because of your faith? Really, that's a lifelong task. To do those things which God wants us to do, to be faithful. You know, physical death can't be avoided, but certainly when you think about spiritual death, you think about eternal life, what an opportunity we have to spend an eternity with God. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. Are you ready to be faithful? When I look back through the Bible, I don't know how many more examples we need of faithful individuals in hard places. We can look at Daniel. We can look at Joseph. We can look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can look at the apostles of the New Testament. We can look at Paul. We can look at Christians today. We can look perhaps even to ourselves if we walk the faithful walk that God has asked us to. What an opportunity that is. To be the light of the world in a hard situation. Daniel was a light. There's no doubt about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were a light. There's no doubt about that. Joseph was a light. Are you a light of the world? In Matthew chapter 5, it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its season, how shall it be seasoned? Then it is good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Can we be the light that God wants us to be? Sometimes being that light means taking a stand. Sometimes that means separating. Sometimes that means enduring. Will you be the faithful follower of God that He wants you to be in every situation? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. It's not easy all the time, but certainly we are promised the home with God in heaven. What a blessing that is. If you need to become a New Testament Christian or you need the prayers of the church, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we pray.